future come.
The Star Worlds with Captain Star, ace adventurer of space, thrilling transcribed adventures in outer space and strange and far-off worlds where mystery, intrigue, and danger ride on every space fleet mission with
Star of Space! Hey, 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 hey.
Nova City Space Station calling Captain Star. Nova City Space Station calling Captain Star. Report for special space mission.
Ranger Star reporting, Commodore Bradford.
You're blasting for Jupiter immediately, Rock. Henrik Pittman, the famous explorer, has disappeared in space.
What's my assignment, sir?
Find him.
Rocket ship Ranger 9 blasted down the long, smooth runway and nosed its way into space. As it did, a picture of Jupiter, the mystery planet, blasted in front of me. It was a cold, bleak picture. A world of ice, ammonia seas, and lava cliffs. With a mist hovering over the planet like a cloud of cosmic dust. And stalking shadows casting reflections of the inevitable. Death. Flaps Anderson, my assistant, summed up our mission with a few well-chosen words.
Find Henrik Pittman on a planet that's 90,000 miles in diameter? Jumping Jupiter. That isn't an assignment. It's a career.
If Henrik Pittman is alive, Flaps, it is possible to find him.
Yeah, if he's alive.
Yeah?
Skipper, this is Gail. I'm in the control booth with Steve Pittman. He'd like to go over the maps with you, his father's trip.
I'll be right in, Gail.
Well, I hope for Steve's sake that we find his father, but I still think it's like looking for a Martian desert cat on Venus.
We'll do the best we can.
Yeah, sure.
If you want me, I'll be in control.
Right.
Steve spotted the location where he thinks his father's ship, the Explorer, might be found, Skipper.
Yes, here on the map, see?
The Ammonia Sea area, huh?
What do you think?
What makes you so sure that this could be the location?
Well, the last I heard from Dad on the visograph, they were circling this area, trying to find a suitable landing place.
That's at least minus 200 degrees Fahrenheit there.
But the Explorer was a big ship, and they had plenty of equipment on hand, and they could protect themselves against almost anything.
Providing they made a safe landing.
Well, then, you don't think my father's alive?
Space is a strange place, Steve. Few people understand it. The things that happen out here are sometimes, well, unexplainable. But when it's happened to you, you can believe anything. Your father was basically a scientist, a good one. So was crew. Landing a ship and staying alive takes more than scientific formulas.
Well, if anyone can find your father, Steve, I'll bet my credit's on the skipper.
I do have an idea.
Well, what's that?
Well, several Earth years ago, a Universe Federation ship, the Infinity, circled Jupiter. The crew reported that they saw a dark band several hundred miles in width around planet Jupiter, and they had a feeling that they were looking into a deep chasm.
Did they investigate it?
Not at the time. They were carrying a special government cargo, didn't want to take a chance.
Well, did anyone ever investigate it?
Yes. In the year 2750, two men from the Space Rangers went to Jupiter and found the dark band the Infinity crew reported on. They reported to Nova City Spaceport that it looked like an optical illusion. But they were going to land on it, or in it, or whatever, if they could.
Did they?
They were never heard from again.
But what could the dark band around Jupiter mean to us?
Well, it might mean that your father's alive. Yes, space is a strange place. And what happens out in it is even stranger. The Space Rangers had reasons to believe that the so-called dark band was a cleavage in Jupiter's outer shell, that intelligent life could live inside it. But the most important thing was, if intelligent life existed, what type? And what was the world within like? That was a part of my assignment that I couldn't tell anyone, not even the crew, because I had secret orders to investigate the world within at any cost.
Hey, look, Skipper. Look, there's another volcano on the surface of the planet.
A lot of them on Jupiter, Flaps.
And that stuff coming out of them, what is it?
Hydrogen flames and lava.
Oh. Well, it's a sense that nobody could live down there. Brr, gives me the creeps.
Yes?
Skipper, check your master scanner. Steve thinks he sees that dark band you were talking about.
What's your reading on the scanner, Gale?
5 points, WC, back to 2/6.
Keep all scanners in focus, Gale. We'll soon know if that's the dark band or not. With all scanners trained on the dark object in the distance, each pulse beat of our heart kept time with the powerful throb of the Ranger 9 rocket motors. Cliffs of huge glistening ice and lava soon blended with a misty sea of liquid ammonia rising from the planet, and a veil of mystery cloaked Jupiter. Then we saw it. Yawning below us was a vast black chasm. Cut forward acceleration flaps.
Right. You're not going to try and go through it?
If it's possible.
But what if it's just nothing?
Do you know what it feels like to go through nothing?
No.
Neither do I. The black chasm was one of nature's freaks. And as we neared it, a sea of darkness loomed up outside. We threw open the rear scanner for backlight. It made the chasm look like a bottomless pit. Then we glided through the opening of the planet's outer shell, and nothing stopped us. We kept going. There had to be an end someplace, or we would go completely through the middle of the planet.
Look, in the rear scanner, it's getting lighter.
But where are we? How did we get through?
The ice cliffs on the outer surface evidently are high enough to keep the ammonia seas from overflowing.
But you can't go through the middle of the planet.
Like the little bumblebee. According to science, it can't fly because its body's too big for its wings. But the bumblebee doesn't know this, so it keeps flying anyway. We know we can't go through a planet, but here we are.
Look, to the right in the scanner.
Green patches. That means only one thing. Living plant life. Well, but this is too far-fetched. There's no life on Jupiter.
We're not on it. We're in it. Still zooming into the heart of Jupiter, our scanners recorded objects below that were unbelievable. Giant trees, huge fern-like growths, and animals with a prehistoric makeup. The atmosphere reader spun around and settled on a fact that was impossible. The atmosphere was balanced for Earth life. In the middle of a giant crevice, we were looking at Earth as it could have been thousands of years ago.
Hey, Skipper, there's a flash below. Look, to our left.
We'll swing around. Accelerate motors.
Okay. There it is. Look, metallic, shining, see?
Skipper, it's a spaceship.
And it's standing on its fins, just as though it was ready to blast off.
Slip the magnifying glass side cover over the scanner. Maybe we can read the name on the ship.
It's my father's ship. The Explorer. Then he's alive.
It's possible. Let's not get any false hopes up. Flaps, keep on the alert for a landing spot.
I knew it. I felt it. Dad had to be alive.
Steve, check the blasters on the ship. You, Gale, go back and supply and get the equipment ready.
Right. Let's go, Gale.
Where there's life, there's hope, naturally. But where there's life, there's also a law of nature. Survival of the fittest. Rocket ship Ranger 9 came to a halt in a clearing about 1 mile away from where we spotted the Explorer. But it was a mile of tangled undergrowth and strange jungle-type vines. Jupiter spins so fast on its axis that you only have about 5 Earth hours of daylight each day. In another hour, it'd be dark. And an alien country brings alien problems.
Well, we can't stand in this clearing beside the ship all night. Well, we got to do something.
Skipper, look out there. That jungle is so thick all around us that, well, we'll never get through.
We have to. But before we do, I want to remind you that Jupiter is one of the most dangerous planets in the universe.
We know it, Skipper, and let's get going, huh? It's going to be dark soon, and personally, I don't care for walking in Jupiter jungles at night. Somehow, I got a feeling it's not safe.
Flaps was right. It's not safe. The Jupiter jungles in evening take on an eerie quality that spells two things to anyone from an alien world. Danger and death. We didn't know it then, but we were about to face both. We left the comparative safety of the jungle clearing, and somehow it was like leaving an old friend. We started hacking a path through the almost impassable rope-like underbrush. That's when it happened. Flaps and I spun around and crashed the path back to her. Gail! Gail, what is it? I told you not to go out too far behind us.
Oh, something brushed against me, Skipper, in the semi-darkness. Something that looked human, but it couldn't have been human. Oh, it was awful.
I didn't want to tell you, but I'll have to. The thing that brushed against you, Gail, is partly human. The product of an ancient and weird Jupiter race. Part human and part spider. The spider people.
Skipper, I don't know how to say it, but...
But what?
I'm afraid.
Afraid of what?
I don't know.
I didn't want to say anything about it, but... So am I. I've been telling myself that there's nothing to be afraid of, but something keeps pounding in my brain that I should be afraid.
Well, I don't have that trouble. No brains.
Yeah. We'll be at the Explorer soon. Maybe it's the anxiety of what we'll find there.
Well, I've thought of that, but... No, it's something more. It's a fear, not like being afraid, but something that gnaws inside of us.
The same fear waves that Gail and Steve felt were gnawing inside of me. Ever since we left our ship, I felt as though something or someone was watching us. Perhaps the creatures of this world within were invisible. Or perhaps they controlled thoughts by mental telepathy waves. One thing was certain. We were fighting something that did not exist as far as we knew.
There it is. The Explorer. Come on, let's hurry.
Well, the ship looks in fair shape, Skipper.
Yeah. Come on, Gail.
I can't. I'm afraid.
Now, there's nothing to be afraid of.
I can't go in the ship. There's something horrible about it that... I just can't go.
Grab her, Flash. We'll get her inside the ship.
No, I don't want to go.
Open the ship's lock. Now, listen to me, Gail. What happened out there can be explained.
I'm sorry, Skipper, the fear, it's gone.
I feel it, too. The minute I walked into the ship, the fear seemed to disappear.
Then the metal of the ship keeps the fear waves from penetrating the brain.
Whose fear waves?
I don't know. Not yet. Find anything around, Steve?
Nothing. Or no one.
Skipper!
Huh?
Behind you, watch out!
Gail's voice spun me around and I was staring into the face of a walking dead man. Red eyes sunken deep and a bony face walked slowly toward me. I reached out, grabbed the half-human being by his torn clothing and pulled him toward me. He fell to the ship's deck. His clenched fist relaxed and a piece of paper lay in the palm of his hand.
Well, what does it say?
See, you can't help us. We are prisoners. Leave Jupiter or you will be too. Henrik Pittman.
Dead. A prisoner.
Flaps, lock up the ship.
Right.
Steve, give me a hand with our boy on the floor.
Yes.
And Gail, see what you can do for him. Maybe he can give us some answers when he comes around.
He's coming around, Skipper.
Good.
I don't...
Well, how do you feel?
Don't hurt me. No, don't hurt
now,
me.
Now, take it easy, fella. We're not going to hurt you. We're Earthmen.
Earthmen?
Now, think carefully about what I'm saying. I'm Ranger Starr. These people are your friends.
Friends?
Yeah. We're here to find Henrik Pittman and his crew. Were you one of them?
Yes. I'm Matt. Matt Summers. Yeah, that's it. Matt Summers from the Explorer. You're Earth people.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Ranger Starr. This is Steve Pittman.
Henrik's son?
Yes.
Oh, your father has spoken of you often.
And this is Flaps Anderson and Gail Archer, members of my crew.
How do you do?
Now, Matt, we want you to tell us what happened to the Explorer and her crew.
Now, let's see. We got along fine the first few days after we landed, and then Pittman and all of us had a strange feeling that we were being watched.
We had the same feeling.
You would. Well, we took several field trips. We didn't need our space suit.
No. The atmosphere here is exactly like that on Earth.
Well, on one of those trips, panic hit the group. All I remember is Pittman kept shouting, "Back to the ship." Oh, it was horrible. Fear, tormenting fear exploded in our brain, and we all passed out.
And then you were taken prisoners. By whom?
By the natives here.
Uh-huh. What do they look like?
Small, hairy creatures. Fast. They look like a human spider, if such a thing is possible.
And where did they take you?
To a stone sanctuary in the dense jungle.
Mm-hmm. Did the fear continue?
Not as long as we were in the stone sanctuary, but when we tried to escape, we couldn't get 50 feet away.
What causes this fear?
The natives think of us as gods. We came out of the world above them. Ever since then, we've held daily meetings, religious services, we imagine, to worship us.
And their fear has kept you prisoners?
Yes. They're able to generate such strong fear waves that they can drive you insane.
Well, how did you manage to get here if you say you couldn't escape?
Pittman made a helmet for me.
Out of what?
Part of his clothing. He packed it with granite sand.
Where is it?
I fell in the jungle and lost it. Couldn't find it anyplace. I started running, but the fear waves caught me before I reached the ship.
I see.
How are we going to help them, Rock?
I'll tell you later. You get some rest, Matt. It's dark outside now anyway. We'll start for that stone sanctuary the first thing in the morning.
You don't believe Matt's story, do you, Rock?
I don't know.
Well, somehow I wanted to, but...
We'll know more tomorrow.
Well, what are you going to do?
As long as we keep metal on our heads, I don't think the fear waves can reach us.
But what'll we use? We left our helmets on our ship.
Yeah, well, Flaps found 11 in the storeroom of this ship. We'll use them. He's checking them now.
Then what?
We'll have Matt lead us to the natives.
But do you feel that you can trust Matt?
Yes. You could trust Matt, all right. But the man in there isn't Matt. It's someone using his body. You'll each carry an extra helmet. Tie it onto your belt. If for any reason you should lose the one you're wearing, put the other one on right away. Any questions? Then we'll move out in route file. Matt, you lead the way. With only 5 hours of daylight, we had to reach the stone sanctuary and try to get back before it became dark. But making our way through the knotted and twisted vine creepers and other jungle vegetation made the going painfully slow. The dense growth kept our visibility down to a few feet, and I kept thinking. In that density waited danger. From out of its depth, death could come, quickly and silently.
Skipper, over there. I saw something move.
We're nearing the stone palace. I can sense the natives.
Just keep walking. We've been followed for a long time.
Followed?
Yes. Flaps spotted a native a mile or so back.
That's right. I just told the skipper.
Could we take a breather?
Have to keep moving. The natives are expecting us.
Over there. Skipper. Look!
It's one of those prehistoric things.
Now, don't get excited. Everyone, get behind me. Keep your blasters in your hand, and if the monster starts for you, use them.
Jumping Jupiter. Look, it's coming this way.
Don't move.
Hey, what's Matt doing? Look.
Taking off the helmet.
Matt! Matt, stop! Why'd you kill him?
I didn't.
But I saw you.
I'll explain later. Wait till the monster get a few feet away. On my signal, fire your blasters. We don't have much time.
Oh, that must be the stone place Matt talked about.
Yeah. Give me the helmets.
Right.
You'll all stay here and wait for me.
Wait a minute. What are you going to do?
I'm going inside and bring Pittman and the crew out.
But
if I need any help, I'll signal. Pittman! Pittman! Henrik Pittman, can you hear me?
Who is it?
Rocky Star, Space Ranger. Stand back from the door. I'm blasting it open.
An Earthman. You mean you're real?
I haven't time to explain. How many men in here?
Only three left.
Well, then all of you, follow me.
All right.
But I don't understand.
Just do as I say. Now, come on. The native stopped. We don't have much time.
Here they come.
Dad! Dad, you're alive!
Yes, I...
Save it for later. Now, the natives will be coming up over that rise in just a few seconds. Put your blast charge on five and stand by. And on signal, fire into the middle of them.
There they come.
All right. One. Two. Three. Fire!
Jumping Jupiter, jumping Jupiter. This is one experience I'll never forget. So help me, I'll never forget.
I still don't see why you blasted Matt, Skipper.
Well, Henrik Pittman can tell you that.
Yes. Matt died 4 Earth months ago.
He died 4 Earth months ago?
Well, the natives were just using his body to trap us. They projected their will and minds into his brain and just used his physical form.
Just used his physical...
Yeah. Part of the natives' plan, too.
You mean the monster?
Yeah.
It was controlled by the natives?
Yes. The monster was to get us excited, and the natives were going to take over from there.
Well, then, why did they let us leave without a fight?
Well, their fear waves lost their power. When I blasted the thing using Matt's body and then the monster, all the fear generated by the natives turned to hate, you see. So instead of worshiping the white man, they hated us.
Well, what do you know? You mean, in other words, the fear waves turn into hate waves, therefore... Well, I don't understand. You'll have to explain all that scientific stuff to me later on. What do you know, huh? Well, it just proves something. You know, you can't trust humans and monsters anymore. No, sir.
Yeah, well, on the mystery planet, I'll agree.
Captain Star of the Space Fleet is based on characters created by Tom Hubbard and written for radio by Tom Hubbard and Fred Eggers. John Larch is heard as Captain Star, Jane Harlan as Gail Archer, and Tom Hubbard as Cadet Sergeant Stripe. Captain Star comes to you transcribed from Hollywood.